And you know, the reality is that many of us will talk about those who have made a difference in life. And we can look at the Thomas Edisons and the Alexander Flemings, but the reality is, and sorry to be a bit of a downer on this, most of us aren't those guys. Most of us aren't, and if we talk even in the Christian world, many of us aren't going to be Billy Graham. There's probably nobody in this room who's going to be the next Reinhard Bonnke. Sorry if that's ruined a prophecy you got 3 years ago. But many of us, you know, we're just ordinary 5'8 Joes. We're just normal people. But here's the reality is, if you think about the people who made a massive difference in your life, it's the normal people. It's the people who were faithful in your life alongside you. And so for me, the biggest differences that have come in my life have come from maybe the people that history won't write down. Maybe the people who, whenever somebody in 30 years goes to do another slideshow of world changers, some of those people that have changed my life won't be up on those slides, but they've made a difference to my world. And my encouragement is today that you and I can make a difference. You and I can be the difference for so many other people. If you will, if you've got your Bible open there, so it's John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. It's on the screen if you don't have it in front of you. And it says this, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. That's John the Baptist they're talking about. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? He said, come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. And I just want you to notice, I have it underlined in my Bible and I've underlined it for you as well in the text on our slide. The first thing that Andrew did was bring his brother to Jesus. Now that's really striking. The first thing that he did as a follower of Jesus himself was bring someone else to Jesus. So help me out. The first thing, say, repeat after me. The first thing. The first thing. Thank you for all four of you who did that. The first thing that Andrew did was bring his brother to Jesus. And that's a challenge to us. The first thing that we get to do. Do you know, the amazing thing is that you don't hear much more about Andrew within Scripture. You don't hear about him doing all those miracles he may well have. You don't hear about lots of the things that he might have been involved in. You hear so much more about Peter, don't we? We could tell some of the stories about Peter, about him walking on the water, about him putting his foot in his mouth and saying things he shouldn't say and doing things he shouldn't do, but ultimately really being a hero of the faith and making a difference. You don't hear that a lot about that about Andrew, but without Andrew, I wonder would there have ever been a Peter? Without Andrew making that difference and being the first thing that he did was bring Peter to Jesus. And as I say, maybe you and I don't know what difference God's called you and I to make. But here's the thing. We could be the ones that win that person, that bring that person, that bring this other person. And they could be the real world changers. They could be the ones that go out and make a huge difference. Who can we make a difference to? You see, you and I were called to make a difference. Amen? We're called to make a difference. And we can make a difference if we will step out and do something for the Lord. And a couple of things then. So a few things as we think about making the difference. First thing is that as we want to step out and be like Andrew, you don't need to be afraid. Don't need to be afraid. You see, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. So if you've got your Bibles, there's a couple of passages I'd love you to turn with me with. So Matthew 28, the Great Commission. And it says there from verses 18 to 20, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You and I, as we step out to try and make a difference for God, as we desire to reach out to our Peters, our brothers, our sisters, our family, our friends, as we step out to make that a first thing, a priority thing that we do within our lives, we know that God goes with us. Not really good. We don't do this on our own. There's no need to be afraid. We don't do this on our own. And I even want to say practically in our country, although there's a little bit of marginalization and there's challenges to us being Christians in the country and the world and where we live at this moment in time, but ultimately there's no massive danger. What's the worst that could happen? I know Dr. Pepper makes that as if it's then everything really terrible happens. But the worst thing that happens whenever you go to ask somebody to come to church or come to an event or you witness and tell them about Jesus, generally the worst thing is to happen to say, no, I'm not interested. So we've no need to fear. We've no need to fear. No need to fear. Secondly, there's no need to be ashamed. Now, what do I mean by that? There's no need to be ashamed. Well, Romans 1 verse 16, Paul says this. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for them who believe. First of all for the Jews and then for the Gentiles." I'm not ashamed. Now that's a little bit more than what Paul's not saying. Oh, I'm not embarrassed, because here's a guy that wants to run in to Ephesus when there's a riot and say, listen to me, everybody, listen to me. Okay, so this isn't a guy who was embarrassed or a little bit tentative about sharing his faith. So why would he write, I'm not ashamed? Because we all know he's not ashamed. We all know that he's not ashamed of the gospel. He's not embarrassed about the gospel. He's not, Jesus loves you. What? Sorry. Just like to tell you that Jesus loved you. No, he's not. That's not what Paul is. Paul is bold. But what he's saying here is that this idea of being ashamed and the concept that he's carrying is he knows it stands up and stacks up. He knows that in the midst of an argument or in the midst of debate or in the midst of talking about the gospel that he will not come undone because it's false stuff that he's saying. He knows that it works, and basically that's what he's saying. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it works. It's got the power of salvation. It changes people's lives. It does mighty things. Jesus existed. He died and he rose again. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father and he still does amazing things. He still changes people's lives. He still turns things around. He still does mighty, awesome, wonderful things and he still saves. And this is what he's saying. If you give your life to Jesus, Jesus will make a difference in your life. And I'm not embarrassed or ashamed about that. It will happen. And I'm not going to be found, if you give your life to Christ, I'm not going to be found wanting because God comes through every time. And that's what he's saying. And you and me, you and I, we need to remember today that the gospel is still the same. That Jesus is still the same and Jesus still changes people's lives. That was a really good moment for an amen there. He still changes people's lives. He still comes into a family that can be totally wrecked and on its knees. And he can save one person in that family and spread through that family like wildfire and turn people's lives around and bring restoration and wholeness. He can come to the person who's an addict and whose life has been destroyed by addiction and harmful patterns and behaviors. And he can come into that life and turn them around and redeem them. He's a redeemer. He's a restorer. He still does it. There's no need for you and I to be ashamed. God still does it. He still changes lives. I'm clearly more excited about this than you are this morning. I'll give you time to catch up. He still changes lives. He still does incredible, wonderful things. So there's no need for us to be ashamed. Secondly, there's no need to be apathetic. Acts 1 verse 8 says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the outer ends of the earth. We receive power. We know that that word is dunamis. It's what we eventually used as a word to describe dynamite. But it's not this kind of destructive power. It's dunamis means a power to achieve that for which you've been sent. Okay, so it's not this kind of, I'll chuck a big bomb in there and see if it explodes and it's a bit random and it's a bit blah. No, this is precise power to achieve what you've been called to do. That's the idea behind the word dunamis. You and I, we've been given this dunamis, this power, this energy and power from God that we can make a difference in the world that we live in. So whenever you're inviting someone to church, whenever you're talking to someone about Jesus, whenever we're witnessing and being witnesses in the world, we're not doing that in our own strength. We're not doing that through our own cleverness. We're not doing that through our own articulation. We're not doing that through even our own example, although that's really important. But ultimately, God empowers us to be witnesses in the world that we live in. And so whenever we start to witness, it's not just like asking them to go to a football match. We're asking them and we're engaging them, and God the Holy Spirit is moving in our hearts, moving in their lives, and He can make the difference. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. We're Pentecostal people and we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's still available for us today, and He still fills us and overflows from our hearts into our lives and to touch the lives of other people. And I want to encourage you today. You have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. And don't ever feel like, oh, I need to get somebody else to come and witness. I need to get somebody else to come and do this. You can do it. You've got the same God that lives within your heart and your life as anybody else in the room, anybody else on the planet. We can be the difference because of who lives within us and empowers us to do it. So there's no need to be apathetic or laid back about this. We can, with fire in our hearts, move forward for Him. And there's no need to be alone. There's no need to do this alone. We're partnering with each other so that we can all make a difference. See, this is the beauty about church. We're all on the evangelism team. Now, you may not all go out on Saturday onto the streets, but we're all on the evangelism team. I didn't know why you know that, but you got signed up the minute that you gave your life to Christ. Right? The minute you gave your life to Christ, you signed up to the evangelism team. You signed up to the witnessing team. You signed up that this is who you are and this is what we do. You see, it should be the first thing that you do is to go and get the Peters of this world. That should be something that's totally ingrained within who we are, that we're always looking for these opportunities and moments that we can bring people closer to Jesus. And we do it together. And some people are better at some things than others. And some, you know, some people are going to be, not everybody's the same. I'm not trying to say that this morning. Some people are going to have stronger gifts in this area. Other people are going to have stronger gifts. But we do this together. And we join each other's gifts and we get alongside one another and we see where we can go. And that's what I love about church and doing evangelism with church, because you can grab the people who are great at hospitality and you can say, can you create a hospitable environment so that we can bring our unsaved church friends to that? That they can come in and it's not a horrible environment. It's not an oil stiff environment. It can be an environment where people encounter love and togetherness and unity and a welcome and an arm around them. Not too many cuddles because people are weirded out by that in their first go. But you know what I mean? Okay, we want, so people with hospitality, we need you. We need people who are good at standing at the front and able to declare the gospel. We need that. We need people who are really good. Like some of the folks in my family, I think of Debbie, my stepsister, and Vanessa, my stepmom. I mean, they would talk to the bus stop if there was nobody else there to talk to. And they would nearly win it over for Jesus because they're so good at just talking to people, just talking away. I mean, anytime we had gone on holiday with Vanessa, she's standing in the line and this person beside her is giving her the life story. And Vanessa's, and they're talking away. And I think, how do you do that? How do you do that? Do you know, I hear these preachers and they give all these stories about I was on an airplane and all these incredible things happen. I get on an airplane and fall asleep. Do you know? But you need all these different types of people in the world. Different types of people in our church. And we all gather together. And so what we're doing even over this next month is we're not putting these events on and saying to you, would you help us out here? What we're trying to do is say, we're trying to help you out with your ongoing mission, with your ongoing being part of the witnessing team. We're trying to put on some events that help you to reach the people that are really important to you. That's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to just put on a few events so it looks like we're doing a few things. We've tried to think really hard about what does it look like that enables us to be Andrews to the Peters of the world. What does it look like that enables us to be Andrews and go and bring people closer to Jesus? How do we do that? How do we do that? And so we have this month of mission, which hopefully is an opportunity to build momentum and to move forward as we try to reach people for Jesus. So let me talk a wee bit about the month of mission that we're thinking about. See, here's the challenge. Even whenever I came into ministry, which is 18 years ago now, and even involved in some youth work and things like that. The culture has changed so dramatically in 18 years. And those of you who are older than me, you'll be able to look back and go, it's changed even more than you think, Alistair. You see, my dad will tell me, who was in ministry before me, being a pastor and running the church, he used to say it was dead easy. What you did was you put a really good title into the paper and people turned up. That was kind of the evangelism strategy whenever they were doing it. Now, they did do street work. They did do other things. But he would have said to me, it was really good. As long as you had decent music, you put on a good Sunday night, you put on a good title, and especially if you were doing the second coming, you'd have filled the place. And really, that's how a lot of churches were built back in the 1960s and 70s, and how a lot of people get saved, because people came to church on Sunday nights then. Now, this isn't me banging a drum for Sunday nights, okay? Because all I'm saying is we can't even get Christians hardly out on a Sunday night. That's not a criticism or a hard thing. I'm just saying that's the fact. That's how much it's changed. It's changed dramatically. See, even whenever I was in ministry to begin with, in the first church that I was a part of, one of my roles at that stage was to do evangelism. And one of our main strategies for evangelism was a Sunday night gospel service. And we saw lots of people saved. I mean, Thomas was part of that team there. We saw lots of people saved, didn't we, on those things, doing Sunday nights and doing things like that. But it's not what happens or works anymore. There's a real challenge about how do we do this today? How do we reach out as a church together with the gospel. In fact, you could have brought a visiting speaker from America or England or somewhere like that, and done a series of healing meetings, and you'd have filled the place. But that doesn't really happen anymore. It doesn't work anymore. I can imagine some of you would think it was great if we were bringing somebody over to do a week-long sort of meetings and we're 8 o'clock every night. We're expecting you to be here. Come on, let's do this. But I have to be honest, I think the majority of you would be like, I'll maybe see you once or twice. And it would be really hard to get people to come to that. So all I'm saying is that's the challenge that we have today. We need to look at mission a little bit different. We need to look at evangelism a little bit differently. And we need to start thinking missionally. What do I mean by that? Well, you need to start thinking like a missionary thinks. You see, we live in a post-church culture. Most people from my generation and beneath, a lot of them grew up in church. So whenever you started talking about Jesus, or you started talking about various biblical characters, they knew who you were talking about. Now, so many kids don't go to Sunday school. They don't go to church. You ever watch game shows and you see questions on the Bible, and they're the simplest of questions, and they're like, ah, Solomon. Oh, he had some mind somewhere, didn't he? Do you know, and people are oblivious to who Solomon, David, Joseph. I had a friend who was doing an Alpha course one time, and it was an Alpha course with a load of guys that had just come out of jail. And he said, you know, the time whenever Joseph, and he just rolled off his tongue, time whenever Joseph was in jail, and he started talking, when a guy stopped and says, what block was he in? I might know him. Now, and that's serious truth, okay? So we need to start thinking missionally in the world that we live in. How do we reach the person that's never come to church? How do we reach the people who are neighbors with us, they live alongside us, and church isn't even in the reckoning? A fear of God even isn't in the reckoning. How do we start to reach people like that? We need to think as if we're missionaries coming into a new land and going, how do we make these connections? How do we make connections in the community? How do we make connections and friendships and all of that to earn the right to be able to say, do you know, actually, we follow a God who we believe loves you. His name's Jesus. And let me tell you a little bit more about him. How do we do that in today's world? And I think even in our world, we as Christians are portrayed in a really negative way. And so we're not just starting from a neutral point of view, we're starting from nearly a negative point of view at times. You ever see a Christian portrayed on EastEnders or Coronation Street or any TV program? And they're a real looper, like. And I don't know, I know most Christians and most of them aren't. Real loopers, most of them. I've met the odd one. But do you know what I mean? We're not like that. And so we're trying to win people over in regards of that. So we need to think missionally. So, for example, I thought about Matthew. Whenever Jesus reached Matthew standing there at his tax booth, what was the next thing he did? He did a dinner. And a lot of the people that he hung around with, his friends, came to that dinner. They wouldn't have gone to synagogue because they were called sinners. They were called, you know, the worst of the worst. And even whenever Jesus sat with him, the people at the synagogue were going, Jesus, what are you doing sitting with people like this? What are you doing sitting with? You should be in the synagogue preaching, teaching. That's what that should look like. But yet Jesus was right where he needed to be, because then he says, actually, it's not the well who need the doctor, it's the sick. So we need to think missionally. How do we impact people's lives? And then we need to think about the invited. And I want you to maybe start to think today about who is there in your life who you've already got connections to, or maybe you could strengthen those connections. Who is there in your life that you could begin to think about inviting along to various things, inviting them closer to Jesus? So whether that's inviting them to be part of community here and some of the things we're doing, whether that's to bring them to a service where they'll hear the gospel, whether that's for you to witness to them in some way, I want you to genuinely think. You're not thinking about, I want you to think right now, maybe three names, three people who you can be, who you just are very close to you. Andrew probably didn't even think about it. I need to go and tell Peter. Who are the people in your life right now? Even the people that God's bringing to your mind. That if you could say, I would love to be there, Andrew. I'd love to be the one that goes and, who are those people? I want you to think about them right now. Who are going to be the invited? Because the reality is, this month, and I'll tell you all the things that we're going to be doing in a moment, but this month we could come and go, and you could miss the opportunity to be the Andrew to those people. This month could come and go, and we could just be busy and not really make a difference. Do you know where the difference comes? Is whenever you and I step out. When you and I start to invite people. When you and I just step beyond our normal comfort zone and start to invite. Who are those people? And so we have a think about the month of mission. And really what I'm going to do is just tell you some of the things we're doing. We've got 12 events that we're going to be running in the month of March that hopefully will be different types of events. There will be absolutely some where will be a normal, just a service, and there'll be the gospel proclaimed. Some will be community events that will enable people to get closer to the church community, break down some walls and barriers as well. And so here are some of the things that we're wanting to think about. So the month of mission, as I say, 12 events, one that I don't have up there because there's not a date on it or anything. But the first one is that we're going to release a magazine, and Matthew's been working really hard on that. Thank you, Matthew. So we're hoping to release a magazine that will have different stories, different articles, things that you can hand somebody, and things like that. So that's one of them. The second thing then, as we move forward, Reach, which is our normal monthly evangelistic opportunity to bring people to. And this month, one of the things that we are going to be looking at, as you know, we looked last week at who is Jesus, and then this March we're going to be looking at, did Jesus really rise from the dead? And really looking at that. And for some people, we want to take them on a journey beyond just thinking that Jesus is a myth and this whole thing's just some crazy thing that people have got tied up into. We want to show that it's rooted in history, that it's rooted in reality, and that Jesus really did exist and that he really did rise from the dead. And we'll be showing the proofs of that, and all of that will be developing and looking at that on that particular Sunday morning. And then that Sunday night, we're sort of doing something a wee bit different. So go with us on this. Has anybody ever heard of the guy called Lee Strobel? He wrote a book called A Case for Christ. So Lee Strobel was, I think it was the Chicago Tribune he worked for. He was a top journalist, won top awards, and was a out and out atheist. And then his wife gets saved. And it near breaks up their marriage, and it's just, but he decides that he's going to use some of his journalistic experience and time to prove that this whole thing's a farce. And in his journey to find out, he actually discovers that it's real and it's true, and he gives his life to Christ. I've just spoiled the end of the movie on you. But he does that, and they've actually made a movie about his life. Karen and I sat and watched it a while ago, and honestly, it's so powerful, so well done. Those of you who remember the 70s, you'll just be loving the clothes. And it's there. I'm going to show you a trailer of it in a moment. But we've found real favour on this because we were going to hire out the Omniplex in Lisburn, and obviously that would have been brilliant, but it was really expensive whenever it was working out, and we were going, boys, dear, how do we do this? And through a friend of somebody on our leadership, we've you've eventually been given, and I don't want to give too many details so you don't, that person doesn't get asked for favors loads, okay, so I'll keep that anonymous, but we've been given a room that seats 150 people in Cityside Movie House, which is just at the end of the motorway, just in the West Link there, for totally for free. For us to be able to go there, for you to bring people to it. And it's a great film that really does proclaim the gospel throughout the film. So can I show you the trailer of that? Is that all right? Here we go.
If somebody wanted to do an investigation into Christianity, where would you start?
If the resurrection of Jesus didn't happen, it's a house of cards.
You sure you want to give me that loaded gun?
I'm pretty sure you're not going to be able to pull the trigger.
I've spent my entire career as a journalist uncovering the truth. Until the day my wife presented me with the biggest story of my life.
I'm not going to lose my wife and my kids to something that I can't even reason with.
And what happened next changed me forever.
How can we even talk about historical evidence for the resurrection?
The Gospels are filled with contradiction.
The empty tomb is based on evidence. And isn't evidence your trade?
We all bet our lives on something.
The question is, what's it going to be?
As much as I would like to help out a fellow skeptic, what you're proposing is impossible.
Could Jesus survive being spiked to the cross?
There is no evidence of anyone ever surviving a full Roman crucifixion.
Just because I write something down and I bury it in the dirt, it doesn't make it true.
What I felt was something more real than anything I've ever felt in my life.
I'm praying for you.
Do you really want to know the truth, or is your mind already made up?
Stop blaming me and the church and God and do your job.
No one's ever proven if the shroud is the actual burial cloth of the Christ. But whenever someone looks in those eyes for the first time, suddenly becomes a real person.
On the 4th of March, and that's what we're going to be showing on that night. We were going to show it here, but whenever we talked, a few people said we'd find it much easier to bring, not so much easier, but they felt that people would come easier to a cinema to watch that than bringing them into a church to watch it. So that's what we're going to have a go at. That's what we're going to do. And we want to encourage you to, we'll be doing probably a sign up or something like that so we don't end up with 200 people turning up. But I really want to, who are you going to invite to that? Think about that. And honestly, I've shown you a few movies over the last while. For me, this is the best Christian movie I've ever seen. And at the end of it, I was so moved, so moved. So, I can't, that's it. That's as big as I can push it. Okay, as we move on then, we've got month of mission. 4th of March. Momentum. We're going bowling. Yeah. Come on, guys. Okay, but we're going to go bowling. Bring along a few of your friends, things like that there. We're going to be doing that down in Lisburn. Flourish, you're having a movie and a fundraiser night on the 7th. And again, as I'm saying, not all of these are going to be nights where somebody hears the gospel, but they're going to be nights where we're bringing them, connecting them closer to the community of faith and to ultimately Jesus as they connect with us too. Also then, Mother's Day is going to be on the 11th of March at 11 a.m. in the morning. Charlotte Curran's coming to speak at that. And I know the ladies, they're planning that particular program. And then in that evening, we've got song, story, and supper. So that's going to be on the 11th. That's the night of Mother's Day. And we've got coming along Maria and Mark Gilpin. Maria's a really gifted songwriter, singer. Her husband plays the guitar and stuff like that. And they're really excellent. I'm going to show you a wee sample of her singing and that so that you know what you're going to come to that particular night. Okay, so here we go. Hear more, you have to come that night. Okay. Maria has a great story coming to the Lord, and it was no easy thing for Maria to come to Christ, and hopefully she'll share a little bit about that, about her story, about even the aftermath of coming to Jesus, and living in the community she lived in at the time, and all of that. And she's an incredible singer, as I'm sure you've got a wee grasp of there. So that's that song, Story and Supper Night. So there'll obviously hopefully be food, things like that on that night also. Then as we continue to move on, we've got Mark Ritchie coming to do a night at Edenmore, and it's going to be one of his one-man show. And if you've never experienced this before, Mark did it a number of years ago for us in the sports hall. It was an incredible night. He's a master at mingling comedy within the truth of the gospel. So he has people laughing their heads off. He's telling them all these stories, and then he just brings it right round into the gospel. Honestly, you can bring anybody to it. The last time we brought Alison's friend, who she's known for years, went through primary school, secondary school. They're total non-church goers. And we brought them, and bless them, they were on the front table sitting listening to him. And they just loved the night. And we're challenged by it as well, you know. So it's a night that you can bring anybody to. I'm going to give you a wee taste. This is a few years ago, but this is one of his shows, and sort of a promo for one of the shows he has. So here goes.
In America, they're so worried about getting sued that there's a label in the buggy that says, "Always remove child before folding." It's like, wow.
Ah, I'm still in here!
When you're desperately trying to get buttons to work, they never do. And the more you panic, they never do. I know this because I was watching something when I was 14 and my mum came in and I was desperately trying to get the buttons to work. Every summer we used to be like, "Dad, where's mum gone?" And my dad said, "Oh yeah, she's swimming around the lock and some Americans are taking pictures of her." I put my hands up and I lean back and I look up to this God in the heavens and I'm like, "God, what am I gonna do? I don't understand this. I'm a young guy. I've never experienced this before. What am I gonna say?" Tarzan was amazing. He was like, like really. I was sitting next to my wife. She was like, I was like, "Tarzan, shut your mouth." I've always wanted to say that. She's doing that thing that you ladies do, where she's talking and crying at the same time. "You don't understand me." You're right. But imagine if the end of that story was that the kids look, they see all the effort the mum's made, the doors have opened, the mum's there, and the little kids are like, "Whatever, back away, shut the door, move on." Well, you know, God sent his son Jesus. He's done everything he physically could do. The doors have been opened and he's there wanting to connect with you. What are you going to do? Are you just going to shut the door tonight? Keep on drifting away from him. Maybe drift forever away from this loving God.
Okay, so Mark actually over the last few years has also been part of the Edinburgh Fringe, and he does his one-man shows in the midst of that whole comedy festival, but he's bringing the gospel every single night in those ways too. So he's really gifted evangelist and comedian, and he is able to bring the two together. So that's Mark, and that's going to be on Thursday the 15th, and as I say, that's in Edenmore, and there's also going to be a two-course meal there. It's kind of a bit of a dress-up night. Now, not a formal night, but it'll be like a smart casual night where you can come. It'll be a night out for you, and we'll be encouraging you to do more things as it comes to that, okay? That's Mark Ritchie. Then the next one, Can anybody read what that says? It's a Keeley, and it's on St. Patrick's Night. Okay, so we're going to have it down in the sports hall and on the 17th, and we're doing that at 7 o'clock. Hopefully people can bring the kids and all that sort of stuff. And it's an opportunity to just enjoy just a bit of music, bit of diddly-dee music. And those of you who like doing that, grab your partner and all, then you'll be able to do that there. And it'll be a really good night, again, just to bring people onto the complex. Because for some people coming through those doors, it's a big thing. So bringing them through the doors and doing a night like that, Davy McGarry's going to be helping organising a bit of that, aren't you, Davy? Yeah, so we're looking forward to that. He's keeping his head down there. But that's part of what we're going to be doing, okay? And then we're really delighted on the 18th. We're really delighted. Things have just panned in and worked in that Slemmies are going to be here on the 17th, or sorry, on the 18th in the evening, Albert and a few of the other guys that are involved, and we're really looking forward to that. Had them a number of years ago. They play Irish type music. Is that how you would describe it? Help me out. It's like folk Irish sort of music. It was really good. Honestly, the first, forgive me guys, but the first time I heard about yous coming, I was like, serious? And I wasn't that excited. And then I heard yous and I was like, wow, that's amazing. So it was honestly, it's really, really good night. And they'll have a guy there that'll talk a little bit about St. Patrick and really Patrick himself, the life that he lived and the gospel through Patrick. And he existed before a lot of the stuff that he gets claimed with now. But Patrick really was. He was a full-on fire man of God who brought the gospel to these islands, and we're very grateful for that. So we're going to hear a little bit about that on that night. Baptismal service on the 25th of March. So if you know anybody that wants to get baptized, if you yourself have never gone through the waters of baptism, we want to encourage you to do that. At the end of the month, Bill will be doing a series or a sermon called Going Public, which talks about the need for baptism and why we do it. And so would encourage you to think about that. And then on Good Friday, which is the 30th of March, we have Messy Church, which I think you'll remember we did last year, and there'll be arts and crafts and different things for the children to do, as well as then we'll have a reflective time together here in the church on that particular night. So those are the things that are happening for the month of March. We've also got then 24 hours of prayer that we wanted to do, and that's on the 2nd of March, which is a Friday, through to the 3rd of March, and we wanted to do something similar to what we did, and we'd love loads of hands on deck for that. In the coming weeks, we'll have a sign-up sheet for that, and it'll be in here in the prayer room, and we really want to soak and smother the month of mission in prayer, that we would see God moving in a powerful way, and just using these wee events and these wee things that we're doing to make some sort of a difference. Because listen, at the end of the day, these 12 events, they could come and go, they could be worthless and nothing, but if God grabs a hold of them and we step into them, then actually some lives could get totally revolutionized and changed. Life and hope and the gospel could come into families, and we'd be so excited about that. I found this little clip, if you don't mind me showing this final clip, and then of just a couple of thoughts to bring us to a close. But Mark Ritchie, who is going to be doing that night, he was doing a little promo for a thing in Soul Survivor about evangelism, and I just thought it was very appropriate to what we were thinking about. So I would love you to hear just what he says in regards to this. Thank you.
I really love the story in the Bible where the four guys take their friend and they take them to see Jesus. The friend's ill and they need to get the friend in front of Jesus. They end up making a hole in the roof and lowering their friend in front of Jesus. I love that story. They take the roof off their thinking to get their friend in front of Jesus. I'm sure you're like me and you're desperate to see your mates, your buddies introduced to Jesus. You would love to see your friends kind of put in front of Jesus. And I'm going to ask you, you know, would you do whatever it takes? Would you do whatever it takes to get your friend in front of Jesus? I love that about the story, that they were willing to make a hole in the roof. They didn't care. All they wanted to do was get their buddy in front of Jesus. A few years ago, we did an event and it was sold out. But one girl turned up and she'd got 13 friends who basically didn't have tickets. And we had no more tickets left. But that girl was so desperate to see her friends in front of Jesus that you know what she did? She went onto every coach that turned up at this event and asked the leaders for their tickets. And eventually she got 13 of them. And she said to me, Mark, I had to do it because I'll do whatever it takes to get my friend in front of Jesus. Lots of people, when it comes to evangelism, their spirit and heart is whatever. But I'm looking to a generation who are not saying whatever, but are actually saying whatever it takes, I will get my body in front of Jesus. Whatever it takes, whatever I've got to do, whatever I've got to pray, however I've got to like kind of make it happen, I just want to ooze the love and the blessing of Jesus. And I want to get my friend in front of Jesus. And the most amazing thing is that once we get our bodies in front of Jesus, Jesus does what only Jesus can do. And that is, he transforms lives. I loved Soul Survivor this summer. And I was so excited after one of my talks when these two girls came up to me and said, we went away from Soul Survivor 2 years ago and we prayed and prayed for our friend, Georgina, who wasn't a Christian. And now Georgina is a Christian. And here she is. And I met this girl, Georgina, and she was beaming. And she was so thankful that her friends had prayed for her and had done whatever it took to get her in front of Jesus. So I speak to you now. What can you do? What are the things that you could pray? What are the things that you could think of? Take the roof off your thinking so that you could lower that friend in front of Jesus and allow Jesus to do what only he can do. We're believing that many are going to come to know Jesus. And I pray that you'll have incredible success as you take the roof off your thinking and you lower your friend in front of Christ. God bless you.
Yeah, so as we come to a close this morning, thank you for your patience. I know it's a wee bit different trying to promote what we're doing. But hopefully you've caught the heart. And we're trying to take the roof off our thinking and how we, as a church, try to reach out to people. There's thought behind everything that we're doing. There's reasons behind what we're doing. And we're trying, as we've already talked about, to think missionally. How do we make a difference? But I'd love you to use even the power of your imagination right now and think, this summer, who could be sitting in this church as part of this church, having encountered Jesus through this month of March, having said yes to him and started to follow him? Who could be sitting in this church in April, May, June, walking into life and starting the discipleship journey? Who is the Peter? Who are the Peters in your life that you could be bringing as an Andrew to come to church? What's our next steps? Well, our next steps isn't to walk out and go, oh, right, there we go. They're doing a lot, aren't they? No, it's to walk out and to realize that we're part of this. And it's really to say, well, we're going to go. It's the Great Commission to go pray. Guys, we absolutely believe. Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. We need to be prayerful people. And we believe the prayer makes a massive difference. The prayer is the bedrock and that thing that steps in and changes things. So we want to pray and ask God for breakthrough. We want to go and invite. Invite people to various events. There's going to be some of your friends. Some of those things won't be for them. But some of them will be absolutely for them. And you can invite them and bring them along. And then ask them to come to the next one. And ask them to come. Because a lot of times evangelism is a process. It's not a one-off thing. It's a process for a lot of people as they journey through discovering what faith might look like for them. Go believing. Because you might say to me, but I've tried. I've asked before. People have come and then nothing happened. Well, go again. Believe again. Again, this is a process. And this is believing that God wants to do mighty and awesome things in the lives of the people that we love and care for. Go believing. Go mad. Go make a difference. Just in case you think, no, 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 what do you mean? M-A-D, make a difference. Let's go make a difference in the world we live in to the people that we're connected with, associated with, our friends, our family, and the folks that we come in connection with. That's the difference. Can we pray together? Let's stand. So let's start as we mean to go on. And let's begin to, as you've thought about people you might invite to things, have you thought about, whenever we had that part of the slide up that said they invited and encouraged you to think about those people that you would invite and think about, those people who are your Peters in your life, the friends, the ones that you know you need to bring to Jesus, and it's your responsibility. You need to be an Andrew or a Peter or one of those four friends that bring these folks to Christ. Who are those people in your life? And I want you to begin to just pray for them right now. Under your breath, you might want to lift them up. I want you to name them before the Lord. And just say, yes, Lord, these are the people that I can bring to Jesus. I'm scared about it. It's totally out of my comfort zone. I'm even imagining the conversation right now, Lord, but I'm going to pray. I'm praying for them right now, and then I'm going to pray for the strength that you'll enable me to step into whatever it is you're calling me to do in this season. With a submitted heart, a heart that's hungry for him, receiving his power to be a witness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Father God. We worship you, Lord. Bless your name. So, Lord, we bring before you all of the names that are running through people's hearts and minds right now. And we pray, Father, for breakthrough. We pray, Lord God, we know that you go before us and that you would bring us to prepared hearts, hearts that are ready to receive you, hearts that are ready to say yes to coming closer to you. Father, we pray for all of those Peters, those Matthews in our lives, those people that we need to reach out to. Help us to be that Andrew. Help us to make a difference like he did. The first thing that we do is to bring people closer to you. Father, help us to do that in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you'll fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. For those of us who have got apathetic about reaching folks, for those who have maybe started to disbelieve and wondered when, Father God, I pray you'll ignite a fire again in our hearts, Lord God, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit afresh and anew. Give us new zeal, new passion, new hunger, Lord, knowing that you can make the difference, knowing that you can step in and change people's lives totally around, knowing that there's no one far enough away and there's no one that's even just that close that you can't enable them to take that step to follow you and to walk with you. So Father, we pray, would you ignite our hearts, would you move in our lives and enable us to make a difference, Father, even in the season that's in front of us, that we would make a difference. And so Father, we even would pray believing that there'll be people in this room, Lord, there'll be people who, Lord, will be starting to walk that discipleship journey in April and in June and in May, and Lord, the months that follow, who will encounter you over this month, Father. We're praying for breakthrough and salvation. We're praying for those who once walked with you but don't anymore. Father, we pray for breakthrough, that you would move in their hearts, move in their lives, and that, Lord, prodigals would run home. Lord, the people who, Lord, just need you in their lives, that they would encounter you and know you, Father. Lord, we pray today for sons and daughters. Lord, we pray today for husbands and wives. We pray today for grannies and granddads, Father. We pray, Father God, for work colleagues, Lord. We pray, Lord, for breakthrough in Jesus' name, that we will see you move in might, that we will see you move in power, and that we will celebrate, Father God. For though we sow in tears, we will reap in joy, Father, in Jesus' mighty, awesome, and wonderful name. In Jesus' name, Lord, we consecrate even this month to you of March, Lord, these events, Lord, and everything that we're trying to do. And we pray, Lord, would you put your hand upon every single one of them, and would you move, and would you do what only you can do, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Bless you. Please do remember that series tonight, The Portrait of the Passionate, and also the things that are happening throughout the week. God bless.